Regarding my presentation this morning, I don't plan to tell you anything new. I think you know everything I'm going to say. I do hope to come at it from a little different angle. And I want to take pieces and put them together maybe a little bit differently. So it's not new, but I want to rearrange it in a sense. And my goal is to, I want to work on enthusiasm. I want you to get enthusiastic for my subject. And so that's my goal today. It's enthusiasm. Focus is on the Apostle Paul. And we must acknowledge that he must have been a very special person to be chosen by the Heavenly Father for the role he played. And he must have been a very special teacher, or he wouldn't have been given that responsibility. So we want to spend some time and just look at some of his techniques and his priorities. Paul wrote different kinds of letters. He has some personal letters, you know, like to Timothy, Titus, Philemon. He wrote things in those letters that he would not have said in any other letter. But the majority of his letters, 5, 6, 7 letters, 8, 9, were to groups of people. And we see that in the letters that he writes to groups of people, he has kind of a method. He has kind of a technique. He starts at 1, he goes to 2, and then he ends up at 3. And he does this in each one of these letters. So this pattern, I'm going to call Paul's method of teaching. And we use the expression, you know, did he have a method to his madness? Well, yes. And I think it is that he wants to get us to number 3. And I've come to the conclusion that number 3 is the most important part to him. And therefore, that's the message he wants us to have. Let's start with Galatians. Okay. It's one of probably Paul's first letters. In our Bibles, we have 6 chapters. And they very nicely divide into almost 2, 2, and 2. And we're going to see that the first part, the 2 chapters approximately, Paul talks about the problems. Secondly, he goes to the next 2 chapters and he talks about the teachings. These are the things you're supposed to learn, right? Through the word of Jesus Christ and through what Paul's teaching through the Holy Spirit. Then we finishes with problems, teachings. He comes to what you are supposed to do. It's the action items. So 1, 2, and 3. And in Galatians, it almost works out almost to the 2 chapters. Now you remember the story of Galatians, what the problem was. Paul had gone there. He spent a lot of time, effort. He got beat up, almost killed, and he was teaching them about Jesus Christ. And what happened was, after he left, what happened? The Judaizers came in and said, don't listen to a thing Paul said. Just forget about all that stuff. Let's go back to the law. So that was the problem. And we know how upset Paul was. This was early in Paul's career. And he uses some language in Galatians that we would say, Paul, did you really say that? Did you really call those people idiots? In chapter 3, he says, it's right there. Yeah. He says, I am amazed how quickly you transferred your allegiance from the gospel. I brought you to the gospel these, and again, he calls them false brothers. He doesn't hesitate. So there's the problem. That's the first part of this, those first two chapters. Then he goes into, he reviews the teachings. And it kind of starts at the end of the second chapter. And he says, a person is not viewed as righteous by God, which is our goal, right? We want God to think that we're good people. But to be viewed by God, it's not something that because of the law. It's not because of the ritual. It's not because of what you do every morning. And then I do this at noon. And then I do this at sunset. And I do this on Saturday. And I do this on the first day of the month. He says it's not about those kinds of things. It's about believing. It's about faith. And he uses an expression, the last verse of the second chapter. I can never remember the number of the verse, but I can remember that it's the last verse of chapter 2.
41.
Yeah, but I don't want to confuse myself by the numbers. I get easily confused. So the last, and I can always find that last verse. So he says, if righteousness were based on doing things of the law, then Jesus died for nothing. It's a horrible statement. When we hear this expression, Jesus died for nothing, it hurts. It hurts to hear those words. That anybody would say Jesus died for nothing. Paul says that's exactly what you're doing when you're going back to rituals. It's powerful. These were the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. Christ died for no purpose. Oh. And here's one I really like. In the third chapter, he talks about the Holy Spirit. Okay? At this point in time, they had the Holy Spirit, right? They were speaking in different languages. They could do miracles. They could help people. They could heal people. And they got all this through the Holy Spirit. And he says to them, did you have the Holy Spirit when you were doing the acts of the law? No. You only got that, those powers, those manifestations of the Father's Spirit, you only got that when you started to believe in Jesus Christ. As that's, he's teaching them now what the fundamentals of our belief system is. So how much do these first two sections apply to us? The problems they had. Well, you know, it's marginal. It's not like we have. When's the last time in Orlando you talked about circumcision and whether the group should be circumcised and not? No, we don't talk about it. It's not the issue, but what's there are the principles. Okay. And are the teachings still there? Yes, the teachings are still there. So I'm not going to end up by saying ignore chapters 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm going to say they're important, but now Paul is taking us to the third section. And this is how they're supposed to live their life. You know, it's in this section here that Paul says we need to become new people. We've picked up the expression, the new creation, and that's a little fuzzy because we start to think of the whole group and that's okay. But Paul says here, we have to become new people. You have to change. So that's what section 3 is. He says in the 16th verse of chapter 5. We're now on 5 and 6. He says, live your whole life in the Spirit. Boy, that's a good summary. Live your life in the Spirit. And then he goes on and he literally lists something like 25 behavior traits and requirements to be a follower of Christ. 25, he makes a list. You know, did your teachers in school have you make lists? Yeah, we had to make a list of the planet number 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What were the 5 reasons Napoleon was the greatest general in the world? Well, the teacher gave us a list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What does Paul do here? Well, he doesn't number them, but he lists 20, something like 25. Depends on your translation, because some translators will combine 2 things and other translators will take 1 word and put it into 2. So there's a list. I came up with something like 25 in these chapters, these last 2 chapters of Galatians. He says, and he's got things you can't do and then things you're supposed to do. So he says, no selfishness. He's talking to the Galatians. He says, no competitiveness. Don't be self-centered. Don't try to be a controlling person. I'm getting this translation I'm taking from the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson. And he said, you can't have a temper. And then he starts to talk about the positive things. He says, don't be weak when it comes to love. When it comes to love, you have to be strong. You have to give love strongly. You have to accept love strongly. You have to have exuberance about life. We call that joy. These are manifestations of being a follower of Jesus Christ. It says you have to have compassion. So that's Galatians. Problems, teachings, how you're supposed to live your life. Let's look at Romans. Now, there's a good connection between Galatians and Romans. I sometimes like to use the expression that Galatians was the rough draft of Romans, because Paul was rough when he wrote to the Galatians. We saw the language he used. He was young. And a lot of us, when we were young, we were kind of fighters. We get older. Now he's writing to the Romans and he's calmer. Okay. So it's the same thing. 1, 2, 3. What were the problems? Same as in Galatia. They were hung up on the law. They wanted to go back to the rituals. And Paul says, I've come to the conclusion that a man is not a Jew who is a Jew outwardly, by the way he dresses, by the way he looks, his haircut. That's not what a Jew is. A Jew who is someone inside, in the heart. Circumcision is not the thing of the flesh, Paul is saying. It's of the heart. So the problem was that they wanted righteousness according to the law. Paul says that's not going to work. The teachings are based again on faith and belief and grace. And Paul takes 11 chapters in Romans to discuss these 2 things. Then chapter 12, he says, Therefore, what are you going to do? All these things being true, right? The problems you have, the misunderstandings, the teachings I'm giving you. Now, what are you going to do about it? Well, same technique from this master teacher. Another list. And Paul goes through in chapters 12 and 13. He says, these are elements of your change, your transformation. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Be transformed. That means be changed. You can't be the same people. To use the phrase from Galatians, you have to be a new person. So he says, don't discriminate. Have love. Have empathy. Pray. Joy. Overcome evil. That's Romans. Problems, teachings, and he gives you a list. Okay, let's look at Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. Problems? Yes. Little different kind, though. In Thessalonica, they weren't the problem. The problem was coming to them. They were being attacked because they were Christians. So Paul says, we acknowledge that this is a problem for you. The second thing is that they did not understand the resurrection very clearly. They had a misunderstanding. So those were the problems to this. That's why he wrote this first letter. Then he goes to teaching. He says, what's the teaching on persecution? He says, it's part of your development and you are examples to all the other Christians. That's the teaching. It's to be expected. It's to be enjoyed. It's to be cherished. Then he goes in the fourth chapter to the teachings on the resurrection. And he says, you don't understand it. He says, but the dead in Christ will rise first. See, they thought the dead and the ones who had died, they thought they would never be resurrected. Only the ones who were living when Jesus returned were going to be resurrected or go to heaven. So you can see they were confused. He says, no, that's not the teaching. The teaching is the dead in Christ rise first. And then what's he do? Well, you know the answer already. Okay. Guess what? It's a list. Okay. This time shorter letter. I counted something like 15 items. He says, comfort and console each other. And evil appearances must be avoided. He says, be thankful. Don't do anything to damage Jehovah's spirit. Prove all things. He's saying this to the Thessalonians in the last two chapters. He's saying it because he wants them to remember that. Ephesians. All right. Now, a lot of us enjoy the interpretations that Ephesians was written to multiple ecclesias, not just to Ephesus. But again, six chapters, and it kind of divides into half and half. First three are about kind of mixed together, maybe we could say, the problems and the teachings. And then I like what Paul says at the end of the three chapters. At the end of chapter three, he says, amen. It's like, he's done. He's done with that section. Then he starts 4, 5, 6. Guess what? Do you know what he does? He gives you a list. There's over 30 items in this list to the Ephesians. How they are to live. He discusses, again, changing their lives. Galatians, got it? He made a list, right? Okay, you got it? Good. Okay, Romans, very close to Thessalonians, we did that. Ephesians, we did that. Isn't it interesting that this style is the same? That's why I call it a method of teaching. It's a style. I got to deal with the problems first. I got to teach you something, and then I'm going to give you a list, a to-do list. You make shopping lists? I can't leave the house without a list. Okay, Ephesians, insert. Okay. Paul does something special, right? We got section 1, section 2, section 3. Right before section 3, he does something, and it's a little bit like he says this word over and over again. I love it. Therefore. Therefore. You see what therefore means? There's all this stuff he's been throwing at you. You've got problems. These are the teachings. It goes on and on. In some books, it's 11 chapters. In one of the books, in Ephesians, he says, to sum up, I beg you. That's like Romans. He says, I beseech you. It's all about therefore. So you don't stay there with the problems in the teachings. I think what he's saying here is what, which, I'm looking for the translation there, but that here's what I want you to do. That's what Paul's saying, and that's the message that lasts 2,000 years. Okay. Hebrews. Guess what? 1, 2, 3. They have problems? Yeah. They messed up totally on the story of the angels. The Jews were so consumed with angels, they thought every blade of grass had an individual angel. They were way off. They had problems on the priesthood. They had problems on worshiping the temple. So Paul says no. And in this one, 1 and 2 are kind of mixed up because he goes on for 11 chapters, just like Romans. It's kind of neat. And he says, you've got to understand Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is begotten of God. Jesus is not an angel. That's what he's preaching to them. Their mistakes. And we already know what he does. Chapter 12, he says, let's start by studying Jesus. That's pretty important. I got a couple more minutes left, but I almost have the feeling that I want to stop right there. If I could stop and end with what he says in this 12th chapter of Hebrews, that we are to study Jesus, that's the most important thing anybody could say. And the ESV, they got it right. The NASB, they've got it right. They say, therefore. And the Message Bible, he's got it right. He says, do you see what this means? That's good. So he then gives what to do. About your consecration, the do's and the don'ts. Do this, study Jesus. He says witness, pray, be thankful. Just get along with other people. Generosity. Boy, have we had generosity here in Orlando. Thank you, Slavages. And he says honor your spouse, honor pastors. No such thing as self-pity. No discontent, no materialism. He's going through, I think there's something like 25 items. Now, he's talking to different people, so you would expect different audiences. There will be repetition. Each list is not new. That's okay. It means that there's less things for us to remember, like love, repeated in every one of these. And sometimes it's said empathy. Sometimes he uses the expression affection. Okay, he's talking about the agape. So I'll tell you that I gave this presentation first, or I gave it in Germany last year and translated into German. And the brother who followed me on the platform is a good friend of mine, Brother Olejasz from Poland. And he gets up after me, and his title is on the Philippians. And of course, I went through these five letters, And Brother Olehosh says, you know, he says, I listened to Brother Krupa's talk, and I say to myself, what's wrong with him? Why is he not mentioning Philippians? That was his topic, you know. And so I didn't realize it, because I somehow didn't go that far in my study or whatever. I stopped here with these five books. But the same thing was true with Philippians. And Brother, so this is my original slide before Brother Olehosh embarrassed me in front of the entire German audience. He didn't. He's my friend. And so I have to add a couple more books, because he says you got to add Philippians, and there it is. They didn't have as, you know, I always see Philippians as a love letter, and I don't think they had any problems. You know what? They had a few problems. And there's some teachings in there. And then in chapters 3 and 4, Paul tells them what they're to do. And then my favorite book at the moment is Colossians. We've been studying Colossians, and it's only 4 chapters. The first 2 are about the problems and the teachings, and number 3 goes into this marvelous list of what to do with our lives. When I saw the list, I counted 26 items. I was so excited, because I said, you know what? I can put that in the alphabet. I can put A, anger, not to do. B, bear one another's burdens. That's good. C, consolation. D, no discrimination. E, nothing evil. F, forgive. G, the garment. New garments, old garments. So I was so excited about going down the alphabet, I was going to get my 26. You know what? Didn't work. There's no Q. There's no X. There's no Y. There's no Z. And there's three P's, you know, but for my brain, it still works. And when I can't fall asleep at night, I go through the 29 letters of the alphabet. And it just helps get into my neurons who I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be. So if there's any last word, I'm going to pick this one from Galatians. It's in the last chapter, and it's verse 15. And I love the Living Bible translation. This is it. He says, what counts is whether we have been changed into new and different people. And that's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for myself, is that we can be changed. We can't be the old garment people. We can't be the ritual people. We've got to be changed inside and out.